Dear God.
Dear God.
Is anyone listening?
I don't really know how to do this, or even how to start.
I've never prayed before.
I haven't prayed in a really long time. Are you there? Do you hear me?
Does any of this matter?
If you are there, I need assurance, some evidence.
Something to show me that I'm not alone.
Something that I can't pass off as a coincidence or my imagination.
Just something. People talk about you like you're close, like you care. I guess I'm hoping that's true.
But I'm not so sure. It's Christmas time, and there's something about this season that makes me want to believe.
In you, in something.
So, if you are there, can you show me?
To know that there's hope, that I'm here for a reason.
That you're here with me.
That everything is going to be okay.
That everything is going to be okay.
Que todo va a estar bien.
That everything is going to be okay.
That everything is going to be okay.
I need a sign to let me know you're here. All of these lines are being crossed over the atmosphere. Safe place.
So this is a line in the song that gets to me. I want a reason. I want a reason. I want to know why. I know what isn't the problem. Why is the problem? I want a reason for the way things, they just don't seem to change the way things have to be. I need a hand. I love that. I need a hand to help build up just some kind of hope inside of me. We've all been there. If you're young, bad news is, if you haven't been there yet, one day you'll be there. It's just part of the human experience. And perhaps today in this season of all seasons, you're there now. And every time somebody says to you, Merry Christmas, you're like, I've had some of those. I'm not so sure this is one of those. That's why I love this line, and I talked about this past Sunday, where the Apostle Paul, and again, if we could just understand and feel the angst of this, when the set time had fully come. And behind that is when the set time had finally, after all the waiting and all the despair and all the wondering, when the set time had fully come, God moved and sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might be adopted as children. That's like the summary of the story. And so for the next few minutes, I'm just going to read you the story. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, who was a descendant of David. And now a little fill in the blank. And the virgin's name was... Isn't it interesting in languages all over the world, in nations all over the world, places that you'll never visit, people can fill in that blank. That's remarkable. A peasant girl in Judea. We all know her name. Anyway, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are, and this is important, you who are highly favored. That is the object of God's grace. You're one of God's favorites. Greetings to you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words, of course, and wondered, what is happening? Is this a dream? I mean, what is this real? What kind of greeting is this? But the angel said to her, in fact, this is the most often command you find in the entire Bible. The angel said to her, do not be afraid. Now this is repeated over and over and over. It's as if God knew the condition of her heart and knew the circumstances we would face. Do not be afraid. You have found, and here it is again, you have found favor with God. Mary, you're one of God's favorites. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. And Mary, he will be great. And every one of you in the 21st century had heard of Jesus before you got to church today, because his name, in fact, became great. What are the odds of any of that? We'll keep moving. And he will be called the Son of the Most High, which was Judean talk for the Son of God. He'll be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom, he's going to have a kingdom, will never end. Now, that's interesting detail, and that's, you know, grand and glorious talk, but Mary gets to the heart of what every woman would want to know. It's like she says, that's amazing, an angel's talking to me, but I just have one question. How? It's so real. I'm going to have a baby. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. And the angel answered, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And what she says next, and this is why I kind of set this up the way I did. What she says next is the intersection. What she says next is the intersection of real world, real life, real pain, real despair, real unanswered prayer, real worry and doubt and fear, between the intersection of all that and God revealing himself to us, she says, okay, I don't know how that's gonna work. This whole thing is strange. I'm not even sure this is real. But I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. This was her way of saying, God's will be done. I don't understand it. I certainly didn't sign up for it. This wasn't my idea. Nobody predicted this. Nobody saw this coming. But if that's God's will for me, regardless of what that entails, yes. And here's why I belabor the point. This is submission that leads to revelation. As a pastor, and every pastor could say this, I've seen this 100 times. I've seen this maybe hundreds of times, that men and women with unanswered prayer, men and women on the verge of despair, men and women who grew up with faith and their faith is about to be snuffed out because circumstances don't support what they've always believed about God or what they believe God had promised them or what they thought the future had for them. And when they get to the point, it's their story, not mine. When they get to the point where they throw their hands up and they say, not what I signed up for, not what I anticipated, but thy will be done. There is something that happens on the inside of a person that unless you've experienced it or seen it, I don't even know how to talk about it intelligently. There is a revelation or a revealing of God, the presence of God, and even the peace of God that Paul says surpasses all human comprehension. There is a surrender to and an in sync with that's life changing. And it's right at the heart of this story. And it's why we dare not make it a fairy tale and why we dare not sanitize it and glamorize it and sand off the rough edges of these circumstances. And it just goes from there. May your word be fulfilled, be word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. And then several months go by, and to everyone's frustration, like everyone's frustration in the entire Roman Empire, Caesar Augustus, 1,500 miles or so away from Jerusalem, has an idea. In those days, Luke tells us, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, taken into consideration or not taken into consideration what this means for the people of the entire Roman world. And why would he take a census? Because he wanted to make sure he was getting and Rome was receiving the tax dollars that he believed Rome was insured or deserved. And so he issues a simple decree. He's Caesar, his name, his word is God. And to everyone then would be required to travel to the town of their birth, regardless of where they lived in the world, to register for the census. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, way up north, all the way down to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He had to travel to Bethlehem because that's where he was from. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. It was like, you know, the story was like really, really, really expecting the child. Now, I have to be careful here, but I've never heard a woman preach or share this story with a congregation. So I don't know what a mother would be tempted to say at this point in the story. But here's what I would imagine. I would imagine Mary thought, we're gonna do what? The angel said, I was one of God's favorites. We're gonna do what? Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm highly favored? Like, God knows my name and God has chosen me to do this amazing thing. If it works out, there was a talk of a throne and a kingdom and forever. And we're gonna do what? Is this how God treats his highly favored people? And there we are again in the story. This trip would take 6 to 7 or 8 days, walking or riding a donkey. If you've ever been to that part of the world and ever been to that part of the world where there are no paved roads, it's really unimaginable. But that's what they did. And while they were there, they finally make it to Bethlehem. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and she placed him in a manger because they got there so late. There was no place for them to stay. And Bethlehem was a tiny little village. There were no hotels. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living, not, you know, temporarily, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their sheep at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And again, we mentioned this last week. These are the least likely people for God to say anything to or to make any kind of important announcement to. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And here it is again, just like Mary, and they were terrified. In fact, the Greek here is very interesting. Literally, they feared a great fear. They'd never been this afraid of anything. These are outdoorsmen. Nothing scares them. They feared a great fear. But the angel said to them, do not, here it is again, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Finally. Because today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the King. He is the Messiah. He is the Christos. He is the Christ. He is God's final King because God has finally moved. And he's come to do something for the entire world, and it's beginning right here in oh little town of Bethlehem. And nothing will stop it. Those are my words. That's not in the Bible. Don't go looking for those. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby. They're like, that's not much of a sign. I'm not finished. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared, and the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven. And on earth, with the rest of us, peace to those on whom his favor rests. God's favor rests on you because you are an image bearer of the God who created you. And like Mary and like me and like the people sitting to your left and right and the people in front of you and behind you, there are times when it doesn't seem like God has extended any favor to us because life isn't favorable. And I just want you to hear this today, regardless of what faith system you're from, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you ever come back or not. That the reality of your life and the reality of our lives is reflected in the narratives of the New Testament. That nothing is sanded off, nothing is made easy, nothing is forced to fit. That the reality of life is part of the story. And it's why it's so amazing that God sent his son into this world, not to touch and go, but to experience life the way that we experience life. To say, you can be both my favorite and experience unfavorable conditions and unfavorable circumstances and unfavorable reports and unfavorable relationships and still live with the assurance that I am with you. When the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, I think we should go to Bethlehem. I mean, the text says, let's go to Bethlehem and see this. The Greek here is so cool too. And see this thing that has happened. In other words, the implication is something has happened that has implications for the future. Something has happened that's not gonna stay here. Something has happened that is so big, we're gonna hear about it anyway. And we have been invited to peer in on this moment in time that has implications, apparently, according to the angels, for the entire world. And here we are. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. And when they'd seen Jesus, then when they seen the baby, they spread word, the word concerning what had been told them about this child to all who would listen. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. But Mary, such a tender statement. But Mary treasured all of these things and pondered them in her heart. Now, generally, that's where the reading of the Christmas story ends. But I want to continue on to a piece that generally gets left out because it brings all of this into even clearer focus. Mary and Joseph actually meet a man who had been waiting. Here's what the text tells us, Luke continues. When the time came, this is a little time later, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, because Jesus was born under the law and they were Judeans, when the purification rites for this baby required by the law of Moses came, Joseph and Mary took Jesus, baby Jesus, to Jerusalem, to the temple to present him to the Lord. They had to dedicate their firstborn. You always dedicated a firstborn son to the Lord. And there was a man there at the temple named Simeon, and he was waiting. He was waiting for, the text says, for the relief or the comfort of Israel. He was waiting for Messiah. And it had been revealed to him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Whew. And he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought the child Jesus, Simeon, and we don't have any details, Simeon walks up to Mary and Joseph, and somehow he knows. And they allowed him to take the baby Jesus into his arms. And he says this prayer. He says, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace." In other words, I can die in peace because I have experienced the fulfillment of your promise. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have made ready for the face of all people." And then this phrase, "a light to the Gentiles." That he recognized the promise made by Isaiah many hundreds of years before, that God was going to do something in the world through the Judeans that would become a light to the entire world. And here we sit. To the entire world, to the Gentiles, that's me. That's most of us. That's most of the world. At some point, we all need a sign. At some point, we all need assurance. At some point, we all need reassurance. And Christmas is that assurance. For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he moved in your direction, that he became flesh and stuck around so that we would know what God the Father is like, that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. That as Paul writes, that nothing can separate you from his love, because you are his image bearer. We are the sons and the daughters of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for preserving this text. Thank you for moving Matthew and Luke to bring us the details. But thank you most of all in this Christmas season for doing something for the world, in the world, that all these years later has reached us. And Father, most of us listening today would say, not only do we believe, but we have experienced your grace, and we've experienced your mercy. We have experienced your power to overcome obstacles. We have experienced your energizing power to overcome and to get through and to keep going and to continue to believe. So thanks for including us in the story. Thanks for not making it so easy for them that the story would be so easy to dismiss. And Father, wherever this lands with each of us, give us the wisdom to know what to do with it and the courage to step into it and to allow you to do in us maybe what you did in Mary, to reveal to us that you're with us, even when at times there's very little evidence of that. So have your way, and we'll say yes in Jesus' name. Amen.